How many of you have had, at any time in your life, you've had an answer to prayer? Okay, we have, how many prayers have been answered by, yes, in the year? How many answered prayers? Can anybody give me a number? 20, 100,000, yeah. What kind of prayers have been answered?
Healing.
Now, I just got some reports from some of our people who have cancer. And we're praying for them. Debbie Perigallo, Carolyn Peters, and others. What do you think about that? Yeah. Amen. Amen. Yes. Has God given, how about in the year, do you ever stop and think about what happened from convention time to the present? How many prayers have been answered? How many conferences have we had? And also Pastor Brent and Lucy are here from Colombia, South America. Good to see you. How many conferences, how many meetings, how many salvations, how much joy, how much safety, how much protection? Isn't it a good question? Here in Mark chapter 9, just as we have a day of prayer today, prayer and fasting for those that want it, and at any time, fasting is for you and I, any time as God puts it on our hearts. And Jesus, in this story, the disciples were dealing with a demon-possessed child, and they couldn't heal the child, and the parent came to Christ. And Jesus said, if you believe, verse 23, all things are possible to him that believes. I wonder if we kind of got a hold on it in a fresh way, if we understood like what this is that we are part of, what God has put us in, and what kind of authority that we have, and how many prayers are answered by God. How many for our children, grandchildren, housing, finances, jobs, health? How much happens in our community? How much on this property? God has given us such great people, and you are one of them. You are one of them. You are in it. You are born again. You are in the kingdom, and we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, demonic powers that are in the world. How many of them are under our feet every day? Every day. They're under our feet. Where are they? They are like, I kind of think of that devil can't always find us. Where is that written in the Bible? That the devil cannot always find you. We are hid with Christ in God. He can't have us. Remember Jesus? They wanted to get him, but they couldn't. It wasn't his hour. I feel the same way about us. Right now, God's given us a good run. We're in a good run. It's not always guaranteed. Remember Paul said to the Ephesians, I cease not to pray. I don't stop or cease praying for you. And I'm thinking of Hungary in my own heart and how much Hungary is important to me in my heart. And we're going there for Eurocon, and not to stop praying for them and other missions so that they would comprehend, understand, be enlightened in their hearts and minds. How many of those prayers are answered? Isn't it good? If you read the story here with me, it says the father of the child cried out, verse 24, and said with tears, "Lord, I believe, help my unbelief." And that's a very good prayer. "Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. And then I'm going to throw my unbelief away and just believe you." Maybe put my unbelief, kind of package it, put it up on the shelf, and just say, "That's my unbelief up there. Right now, I'm not dealing with it. I'm going to believe you. I'm trusting you. Help me." Verse 25, Jesus saw that the people came running together. He rebuked the foul spirit, saying, "Thou dumb and deaf spirit, I charge thee, come out of him and enter no more into him." Casting out demons is in our gospel, isn't it? Casting out demons is something that Jesus Christ did when he came. But if you look in the back of your Bible here in the Old Testament, you don't really see casting out demons. Actually, Saul had an evil spirit, and David played music, but it doesn't say that David cast the devil or cast the demon spirit away, but he just played the music. The evil spirit departed. But Saul, I believe, was a believer, but still an evil spirit bothered him like it can you and I. Has anybody here had an evil spirit trouble you? I wonder. It can happen. But don't we learn warfare? Don't we learn to live by faith? Don't we learn to put things before God that God is able to bind the enemy? Don't we learn that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you? Don't we learn about prayer and that we have authority in prayer over evil spirits and that we are the salt and the light in the world and that prayer is a privilege given to us, isn't it? The story goes this way. The spirit cried, verse 26, and rent him sore and came out of him. And he was one dead. You know, in a liberal church, I don't know if they read this part of the Bible. I don't know if they believe in the devil or demon spirits. There it is. They are real. They operate in the world. And then Christ has his disciples like you and I. And Jesus took him by the hand, verse 27, lifted him up and he arose. Imagine having a child possessed of the devil, possessed of a demon spirit. And your child, you go to bed at night, he throws himself into the fire. He foams at the mouth. In verse 20, he fell on the ground and wallowed foaming. Imagine, oftentimes it casts him into the fire, verse 22, and into the waters to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion and help us. That's what the church is here in the world for. The church is here to help people, isn't it? It's here to do something about the evil that is in the world. We are the people. We are mighty people. We are the people. We are frail, but we are flesh and blood, but we are spirit. We have power with God. We have power over the demons. We have power in this world. The devil is, I think he knows this about us. He would like to divide us, Psalm 2. Let's break their bands asunder. The kings of the earth rise up against the church, in verse 1. Wherefore did the heathen rage and the people imagine a vain thing about against the Lord and his anointed. The Lord and his anointed. That's us. You are his anointed. And they imagine things about us that are not true. But that's okay. That's the work of the evil that is in the world, but it is not in us. We have love in us. We have faith in us. We have the Spirit of God in us. We have the calling of God in our lives and hearts. Look at verse 27. Jesus took him by the hand, lifted him up, and he arose. And when he was come into the house, his disciples asked him privately, "Why could we not cast him out?" What a good question. Like maybe when we come to church, we ask God privately these things, you know, in our hearts. Or when we're driving to church, "Lord, why is it I cannot cast him out?" Or we drive to church, "Lord, why is it I can't get victory over this bad habit? Right? Why, Lord, do I have so many doubts and fears in my life? Or why can't I get along with my brother or my sister?" Isn't it a beautiful thing? Like they couldn't do something, and when they got Jesus in private, they said to him honestly, openly, like opening up your heart to God and saying to God, "Why? I am powerless. Why I can't get the victory over this? Why can't I cast? Why couldn't we cast out the demon?" And he answered, 29. He said, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. What an answer. He will come out. That demon will come out. But it's going to take some effort on your part. It'll take some prayer and some fasting. I don't know what the fasting part means exactly, but I know that Paul fasted often. We know that Jesus fasted. We know that the early church at different times did. We know that it helps our concentration. When our blood sugar levels drop, we get better concentration in our brain. Brain waves change a little bit. Physiologically, you could say something about it, but spiritually, there's something about it. Maybe it's some focus or concentration or faith. It's not works. But if some faith in God. God, I'm serious about this. This has got to change. This cannot happen. I am asking you. This is prayer, isn't it? The power of God. The exercise of faith. Prayer. I think our church, I've been thinking of it the last days, and I'm walking around this property. I'm saying, "Lord, there's no way this would happen except there's prayer. There's no way that this would be of you, Lord, except your people are praying. There's no way we could have what we have around the world and many countries and many disciples and quality people. There's no way except you're answering prayers. You're answering prayer and you're doing it. And you're helping us." And if you think maybe, and we all do think this way, maybe he hasn't answered my prayer yet. Or he hasn't answered my prayer. Just wait. It can happen. Or maybe he has, but maybe in a different way. Maybe he answered your prayer and you don't know it. Maybe he is doing something way beyond what we could even ask or think. But he's doing it. How could we have people going? I taught a class today in the high school. And didn't the high school people do good in the music tonight? Precious people. Young people. It's beautiful. Learning faith. Walking by faith. Singing by faith. Like serving by faith. But I was thinking of how the Lord has early morning prayers. I know in Fed Hill, they They do 6:15, I think, says Friday morning. I told Justin I want to come Friday morning. Anybody want to go down to Fed Hill early morning Friday, you are welcome. They're going to have prayer there, and then go out to breakfast or whatever. But prayer. Many of us, when we met Dr. Stevens for the first time, the first thing, he said, come to the prayer meeting in the morning. And I think it was at 5, or it was really early. And we did it all, you know, he did it. He was always there. And but to lead the church in that, that's a beautiful thing. What do we have because of all the prayers that are prayed? And not only many, but one prayer that's prayed. The prayer of a righteous man. The prayer of a guy that's saying, I believe in you, I'm leaving it there. I'm believing you, I'm leaving it there. Thank you, Jesus, for answering me. It's a good word. Demons will come out of people. Salvations will happen. Buildings will be bought. We're buying one now in Uzbekistan by God's grace. Yeah, money is going to be supplied. People will be employed. The mission will go on. Workers will live by faith. A disciple will not count the cost, but he will act in faith and do something because of prayer. How will missionaries go to the field? But by us going to the Lord of the harvest in prayer. Why would God put that on somebody's heart? To lose their life. Give their life over to Christ. Give it all, 100%, all to Jesus. Everything. Everything. My future, housing, practical thing, everything. Give it all to Jesus and trust Him with all my heart. And walk by faith in God. And God saying, I will take care of you. I will take care of you. And then He does. And then we come back saying, yes, He does. Yes, He does. And He's answered in so many ways. I'd like to ask Pastor Taggart a personal question in front of everybody. How did you get your wife, Pastor Taggart? Really beautiful. Well, that's why I called on you. I knew you'd give the right answer. Yeah, how do you get, you know, friends, and how do you find a church? How do you find depths of heart, and how do we get healed, and how does it happen? I was in Israel one time, and I met this British man. I think he was 78 years old, and he said, I have a cancer, but I'm not worried because 15 years ago I had a cancer, and God healed me. Now, he gave some time frame. I don't remember the detail, but he said, this is the third time. And I just believe God will heal me. I believe it can happen, that God can heal us. And I know you believe that too. And I love to celebrate that tonight as we talk about it and think about it. Could I turn to one other text, please? Acts 10, and just finish with this. Acts chapter 10. And this is when Peter was sent to Cornelius' house, Acts 10:44. It's, I think, about a 30-mile walk from where he was in Joppa up to Caesarea. Might have been a little longer, a day and a half of walking. And Cornelius sent for Peter because the angel said to Cornelius, who was a Gentile, send for Peter. Yeah, send for the missionary That happened in Ghana. We were on radio off of an island of West Africa, and the Ghanaians were writing letters to Dr. Stevens, please send a missionary, please send somebody. And I think we had 86 letters. And one day, Pastor Shibeli was in Lenox from Springfield, and I didn't know, I was a missions director, and I didn't know what to do with these letters, so I gave them to him, and I said, could you read these and tell me what we should do with it? And God spoke to his heart. Send for Peter. Send, you know, somebody, please come. Please send for somebody from Greater Grace. You know, send somebody, please come. That's what happened here. And Peter, verse 44, while Peter, he went to the house, and as he spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell, and all them which heard the word. It happened. The Holy Spirit visited. It filled the room. The Gentile people who came to listen, Cornelius's friends and relatives, and Peter spoke, and the Spirit filled the room. I'm sure it's happened to many in this room where you've gone somewhere. It's a divine mission. It's a divine appointment. People are waiting there. They're waiting for you to come. You know, some people wait days to come. A recent trip Pastor Shibeli took to Nepal, he had to change his plans, and people had come. And they waited another 4 days or 5 days. They were waiting for Pastor Shibeli to come. It's a beautiful picture. And then when he ministers, does the Holy Spirit fall on those people in the room? Is this something? When the Children's Evangelism Fellowship in the city of Baltimore have our people with Colleen Collins and Pastor Hadley and the whole group, and they go to these children and they start to speak, and the Spirit speaks to children in Baltimore. Amazing thought. Why? Answer to prayer. Prayers are prayed. God sends people. They are sent. They are sent. They have joy when they go. They are sent. They're on a train. They're on a bus. They're just sent. They can't be stopped. God's sending them. He has authority in heaven and earth, and he's put his hand on them, and he sent them. He put them in school. They followed disciples. They lived by faith, and God's sending them. Isn't that amazing? Wow. We've seen it happen. Let's finish reading. It says, they of the circumcision which believed were astonished. They were astonished. We had these two girls in Hungary when we first went there. They were like 15 young girls. They were so affected. Now, years later, they're like adults and they have families and so on. And I talk to them sometimes. I mean, there's no way it can be explained. They are astonished. They are astonished at what they hear. They are astonished at the atmosphere in the room. They don't know what it is. They're astonished at the conversation after. They're astonished when they get on the bus and they go home and they come back the next day. They are amazed at it. This is God and his work. This is an answer to prayer. This is the authority of God in the gospel. This is the mission. This is why we went to Bible school and why we assemble here 3 days a week and maybe more. This is why we have a little prayer altar at home, maybe a chair or a bench or somewhere in the house where you shut the door and it's quiet and you just are quiet, waiting on God. You put your phone in another place. You forget about that for a while and just kind of go in faith and prayer. You say a prayer in your car. You pull into a parking lot early morning and just park and just sit in the car because it's quiet. and you say a prayer, or you meet sisters and brothers and you just kind of are stirred up in faith and rejoice a lot and say hallelujah and just be before God and say a prayer, and God answers that prayer. Isn't that amazing? Let's read to finish it. It says, they were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because that on the Gentiles also was poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit. For they heard them speak with tongues, magnify God, and answered Peter. Meaning in Acts 2, Pentecost, they spoke in tongues. Now the Gentiles are speaking in tongues. What? They are Gentiles. God is visiting the Gentiles. God is saving the Gentiles the same way he did us. God is with the Gentiles. This is nothing less than the authority of God. This is God is in the room, and God is doing that work. Isn't it an incredible thing, isn't it? They are amazed. The Jews are amazed that the Gentiles have the same salvation and the same new birth, the same presence, and the same work of grace. I feel that it is amazing sometimes when you are in the Philippines or you're in China and they get saved the same way, and you go, oh yes, of course. And no matter where, North Korea, Cuba, Vietnam, any place in the world, it's the same power and same spirit. Amen. Well, I just thought to ask Pastor Shibeli to come up and lead us in prayer, just however he leads, whatever he wants to do, short or long or whatever, but we can pray with him. And we could just pray that God will do some things with us tonight here and help us understand the theme of prayer a little more. And maybe you have something in your family or in your heart or a need or a burden or something, and let's just bring it to the Lord in prayer for a few minutes. Also, by the way, we have some financial need in our church. We've been tracking it, but we're a lot of money down in the red. So we just want to bring that to God. Like $86,000 in the red, and even more, actually, depending how we calculate it. But we'll keep you updated. But that's another need. But that's not a problem to God, amen? And his people, and obedient people, and answer to prayer, Lord. So Pastor Shibeli, come on up.
It's working. Just a couple of things. I remember having this great vision that I prepared for 2 years to go to Milan, Italy. And Pastor Stephen said to me, when he just shared with me the gospel about the need that was in Africa, that there was nobody really there, and nothing had started from the ministry. And I said, well, that's great, but I'm not interested at all. And he said to me, well, I'll just pray. Guess what happened? Ended up in Africa. Bye-bye, Italy. That was long gone. But that was an answer to prayer. And even before I got saved, my wife, who was born again before me, and my brother, who was also saved, they prayed, can you do something with this person? I was like right off the edge in life, you know? And I got converted. I just got converted on January 6, 1976 in my house, reading Acts chapter 9. And I got saved, answered to prayer. And so really a prayer, speaking with God. And when I think about prayer, I think about the throne of grace a lot. And when we're praying to the great high priest. Seeing in verse 14 of chapter 4, seeing we have this great high priest, Jesus, he who saves, God saves, the Son of God, perfect deity, who was tested and tempted in all things, such as we are, without sin. He was the Son of Man. And then number five, I come to him. I find grace to help in time of need. Say this with me. He's my helper. He's my helper. He's my helper. And that is amazing. So as we pray tonight, we pray believing. And we know who we're praying to, the direction of our prayer. And it is so important and so key. And Satan trembles at the youngest, newest believer praying to an almighty God. He fears that. That's why prayer meetings are not the most popular thing in Christianity. And so we pray tonight. And as we pray, you get on your knees, you stand up, walk around, whatever you want to do, sit there. But let's really believe God tonight. Like, I believe, he said. So I believe. I have the basic foundational truths, and I believe. But help my unbelief. There's areas that maybe I won't say it to other people, but do I really believe God in these areas in my Christian life, for my brothers and sisters, for healing, for change in people's lives, for addicts? I was thinking today about drug and alcohol problems. And I was praying today that in a prayer meeting and then after, Lord, why can't we have like one or two homes that people would be called to, and that we would operate them as Christian homes for people? We used to call it, we had a couple of them, we used to call them the Life House. It takes God raising up a man. So I just was praying. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what God's will is in this area, but I do know, boy, just to be able to help people. So let's bow, however, stand, walk, kneel, whatever you feel free to do, and just really have a great time in prayer. Really trust God. Really believe him tonight. Maybe there's things that you prayed for, they've been on your mind, things you haven't prayed for. Like, we believe God. Paul said it in Acts 27, I believe God, it will be even as he told me. So, Father, we thank you tonight. We thank you that you are our Father. Amen. You're our Father. You are our provider and protector. You are the planner with the provision. You're our Father. And we thank you that as your children, we can come to you. We can come to you as your children. And will he give a stone if you ask for bread? No. Will he give a scorpion? No. No. My Father knows what I need. As we used to hear that song many years ago, I'll just stand by and watch him provide. My Father knows what I need. Say it tonight. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe God. I believe he loves me. I believe he cares for me. I believe he's merciful. I believe he has an eternal purpose for us in this city. I believe the mission of the gospel that we have. I believe for God to convert people, for the gospel to go forward, for disciples to be made. We believe God for us to grow in our understanding and our illumination of the Bible. For us to just be encouraged in church life, body life, relationships, fellowship. Say it, I believe God. I believe God. I believe God that he can heal cancer. I believe God. Do you believe God? We believe God. Together we believe. We believe God for healing where people have heart problems. I believe God, we believe God. That God can touch somebody. I believe God for the healing of people's lungs, for back problems, for severe headaches, for dizziness, for any illness that might be going on, simply tonight, as Paul said in the boat, a sinking boat in a storm with 276 unbelievers. He stands in the middle and he says, I believe God. Say that. I believe God. I might be surrounded by all kinds of opinions, all kinds of people making analysis to themselves, all kinds of evaluations of this world. But in the middle of it, in the middle of that storm, I believe God. Do you? I say it. I believe God. I believe God. We believe you tonight. We believe you for new churches in the world. We believe you for the gospel going forward. We believe you for people being trained and people saying, yes, I have a calling to be a pastor. Yes, a missionary. Yes, a Christian school teacher. Yes, a Sunday school teacher. I believe God for my marriage tonight. Say it. I what? I believe God. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what it feels like. I don't care what's going on, but I believe God. I believe God for my family. I believe God for my finances. I believe God that He's going to just end this financial deficit very soon. This $86,000 is nothing for God. God, do it. David would pray at times what was called imprecatory prayers. God, you said it, do it. You said it, do it. I believe God. I believe God. Believe God for our teenagers. Believe God. Children being raised up, believe God. Just lift your hands to Him. Just thank Him. Thank Him. He's answered your prayers. He's answering your prayers. I believe God. Thank you, Jesus. Tell Him thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you that you even hear our prayers. Thank you. Thank you that we can even speak to you. What a privilege. Prayer is such an awesome privilege. The blessing and the benefits of prayer. It's amazing. I believe God. I believe God. I remember being in a hospital in Africa, and they said, this stroke is very serious, and you'll probably never be able to do anything again. Maybe not walk. You definitely will never speak again or preach again because your brain has been affected. You know what? This church prayed for me. And that's why I'm standing here. I believe what? I believe God. I believe God. We are on this property. We are here in Baltimore. How did it happen? Prayer of faith. Pastor Stevens, the elders of the church in Lenox, they prayed. And we're here. And we're praying. We're in 80 countries now. 769 churches. How did that happen? Simply what? I believe God. Wow. I believe God. Simply. Simple faith. I once heard a message from Pastor Stevens. Simple faith defeats sophisticated darkness. Simple faith. I believe God. I believe God. God can change somebody in a marriage. God can change a rebellious teenager. We simply pray and we believe God. Just simply believe. And as he said, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. Whatever areas I have unbelief in, help my unbelief. God is my helper. That's what David said in Psalm 12. He's my helper. He runs to my cry. That's what the word help means. God runs to your cry. He doesn't walk. He doesn't stand still. He runs to your cry. Believe God. Let's just stand and raise our hands and just believe God tonight. If you can stand, stand. If you can't, it's okay too. Put your hands up and say, I believe God tonight. Say it with real conviction. I believe God. Let's shake the atmosphere. I believe God. I believe God. I believe. I believe. Get rid me of unbelief. In any area, just that's it. I've had it with unbelief. I believe God. Thank you for the word, because faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word. We believe tonight. We believe for everything that we decide to do as a ministry when it comes to the property here, when it comes to the direction we go in with new church planting, with new places in the city of Baltimore, with conversions, many conversions of many people. The government, we thank God and we're submitted, but the government will not change this city. Politicians cannot change it. No, we Christians who have access to the throne of grace, God can change Baltimore. Using us, God can change Baltimore. We believe God. Charles Finney would go into cities, they would pray, and everyone in the city would get converted. He believed. Great prayer meetings. Student volunteer movement. They used to pray with J.R. Mott, would pray and pray. He was known for his prayer. And 20,500 young people went on the mission field. Americans went. From 1886 to 1918, prayer did that. They believed God. We believe God tonight. Can God take away anxiety? Hello? Can he take away fear? Take away human reason? I believe God. Oh, I hear about the anxiety and fears and doubts and human reason. And I understand that, and we all have it at times, but God delivers. He's my deliverer. He's my Yahweh Jireh, the Lord who provides. Give him a hand. I believe God tonight. I believe God. We believe God. For the impossible with man, it is possible with God. I believe God. I believe God. I can be preaching around the world when I'm 98. I want to believe God for that. Hallelujah. I don't even know what that name, that word means, old age or eternal. You believe God, you're eternal? We're eternal. We're not old. We're not young. We're eternal. I believe God for that which is eternal. The eternal God is my refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. We believe God tonight. We believe God to take away our any burden we have. Are you carrying things that God should be taking? Yes, Lord. Thank you. Carrying things? We have burdens? We give them to God. Come unto me, he said, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. We give them to you tonight. Just make a motion with your hand. Giving God your cares, your burdens, your sins, your troubles, your problems, and just throw it on him. Casting it all on God. Tonight, I what? I believe God. I believe God. Those are three of the most powerful words. There's only one word between I and God, and that's the word belief. There's only one thing that's key and essential. I believe God. Oh, some people are so sophisticated in their Christianity, and it's really simple truth. I believe God. We are in the midst of many, many people who do not believe in God, and even Christians who don't believe God. But we want to stand as a testimony to the simple three words that I believe God. That's what I want to say. I don't want to talk. Don't spend so much time talking about the problems, the weights, the failures of the past. How about just talking about believing God? Just believing God. Don't put things into the air. Demons take them up and send them right back at you, more powerful than they came out. We believe God tonight. Amen? We believe God. We believe God for spiritual growth in the church. Believe God for new souls. We believe God. Thank you. We believe God for leadership in the ministry. We believe God for our Christian school teachers. We believe God. We pray tonight, God, touch those who are not well, those who are sick. Dry up cancer at its roots. Dry it up. Get rid of it. Lord Jesus, protect people. Help us, God. Keep people from accidents by simply having faith in God. I believe you tonight as I drive down. I believe you as I drive home. I simply believe God in every instance, in every area. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the blessings and the benefits of believing. The blessings and the benefits of believing God. You will never leave us nor forsake us. Do you believe that? I believe God. You have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. Say, I believe God. I'm accepted in the Beloved. What do you say? I believe God. We are a chosen generation. What do we say? I believe God. I believe God. The Holy Spirit wants to lead us and guide us. And we say, I believe God. Thank you. Heaven is our home, and we say, I believe God. I believe God. God, just take us. As we heard in the verse that Pastor Scheller said, exceedingly abundantly above and beyond everything that we ask or even think. Beyond what you ask and beyond what you think, God is there. And he knows exactly where to bring us. Thank you tonight, for we are in the midst of a people who believe in Jesus Christ, believe in God the Father, believe in the Holy Spirit. We believe God tonight. Oh, we might be weak at times. We might fail. We need to grow. But for these things, we believe God. Simply believe tonight. God, just give us. Just give us this faith continuously. 2 Corinthians 4:13 says we have the same spirit of faith. Thank you. Thank you for prayer today. We believe God for our country. We believe God for the state of Maryland. We believe God for spiritual leaders. We believe God he can use our country again. Keep using our country. We believe God. We thank you tonight for a time of prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.